Nestled between the two valleys which surround the town that hosts Athenia Magical College and the Fair Exchange, there is a forest. The valleys carry some version of the new moon or the full moon at all times. Each night, they duel their dance across the sky, causing quite interesting local lighting conditions and even more astounding local plant life. There are forests, rivers, temples within the woods, separated by clearings, paths, and old wounds. There are secrets to discover. Between those two valleys is the more temperate forest, which, rather than being changeless, shifts with the seasons quite normally. It is touched by weather. In the winter, snows may come down from the high mountains and create plateaus in the forest and on the foothills. The rains are harsher there, but it is a place left to the natural world, and like most places left to the natural world, it is highly artificial that it is so. People stick to the paths when they travel through the little valleys, knowing that older things own the night out here. Or they stay in the countryside, up toward the town, because there are signs which warn do not deviate from the path, and because people know that if you have a very good reason, you do deviate from the path, and they would hate to disrespect that sacred time and the supplicants who turn themselves over to the forest spirits by doing it accidentally. The world here is intensely focused. There's an agreement between the spirits that dwell in the forest and travelers. If someone has a good reason to step off the path, they will not be bothered. So it is simply accidental, inattentive, or overly bold straying which gets one in a little trouble. Tonight, there is a heady, arousing, instinctive musk in the air. You breathe sharply and think that, or fancy that, your vision can see even into the deeper shadows. This is a beautiful place. There are streams, gullies, clearings visible from the path. Anyone might be tempted to go and inspect them. But the older creatures here put a forbidding aura up. None of them are aggressive. The aggressive creatures were driven out. But what's here is old and proud. It's just that you might also lose a few days to whatever spirit invited you. More a wasted weekend than a kidnapping. You can always leave when you want to, but they're very good at talking you around to their way of view. You look out off the path. If you accept an invitation to step off the path, then you do accept the authority of the specific spirit that invited you. You call it to you when you accept the invitation. You make it more imminent in the physical plane. You make it close to you. Everybody knows you're responsible for it if you let it take you home. Which just mostly means that if it does something around here, like invite you off the path, well, not everybody listens to all that. Not all the time. The world would be boring if nobody ever strayed from the path, and the consequences are seldom that dire. Signs may be posted, warnings may be given, but your hunger is real. Even just to have a different experience of the evening. You can't just tell people when they move to town that there's ghosts in the woods who'll change you, drop you down, spirits that will pursue you, instill pleasure in you, distill pleasure in you. But when they do that, when they take you somewhere idyllic and beautiful like this, dirt paths leading off underfoot into the green of the woods, leading away from it all. The dirt is warm and underfoot, and that warmth arcs up through your souls, finding its way through your body as it rolls down, rolling your heavy eyes into shut disposition. You don't step off the trail. A new trail grows out from it, toward a shadow with a huge growing, billowing cloak. You see it there. Should you alert people that one is so close to the trail? Should you have a talk with it without ever leaving the trail? Should you be walking down this little path toward her as she grins and one fang shows itself? Of course you should. Under the forest eaves, it is warm and peaceful. The instant you stepped off, you started walking carefully up on the tips of your shoes, raising your thighs and legs, standing tall, standing quite tall. Maybe because she looms huge over it all. As you approach the shape in the darkness, you notice paper strings of lanterns, talismans. There are little shrines here, and another path that looks almost like the one you're on, but more overgrown, leads to a dilapidated and fallen shrine. There is gray and silver sand on the way over there, but you don't turn. You're still focused on the shadowy figure, relaying at a distance that she shouldn't be so far to the main path if she cannot walk on it. And she isn't standing even on the small spur of path that seemed to grow from nowhere. If her feet touched it, probably someone's ward alarm would go off. People read and sit in safety here, but she's looking at you, following you with her eyes. And in that clearing, you see a stone, a distant stone, and she's seated on it, reclining and at ease. And around the edge of the clearing, there is an opening in it so you can step through. There is a ring of blue flame, spitting and leaping. She's unconcerned with it. The clearing is not on fire. She is surrounded by fire. The clearing is on her, sunning herself in blue flame. Thoughtless and quick, you step from the trail, move nearer. There is a clear path amid the flame, and now is the time for decisive action. Her eyes are closed. You're getting nearer now. You see she's wearing some kind of silk robe, but what was up and behind her, framing her, was her tail. Her breasts are revealed, and there's no time for modesty. You march closer. The flame quiets. You really felt it was risky for her to be using even visual magic. It looks like fire out here. Someone might get the wrong idea. Her eyes are still closed, so you clear your throat to try and rouse her. Reach out for her wrist, intending to pull her up, get her attention. Your eyes are still locked on her breasts, but you're aware of the rest of her. It can be forgiven. They are magnificent. You're doing something to help, after all. You try to wake her up. See if this is an invitation to accept. You suppose, having learned this, you should have turned around, since she obviously wasn't so much inviting as happening to be eerily silhouetted against a distant and incongruous path. You're doing something to help, leaning in and checking that she's breathing at least. She grabs your wrist back. Hello. You look around. The flames are now nowhere to be seen, and she holds your wrist. You pull experimentally, but even with your whole body weight, she doesn't move. It's like you're pulling on a vice or a fixture of the world. You might as well pull on a mountain. Not one hair on her head or on her long red tails stirs from your tugging. Everything is still frozen. You're not even sure if physicality is involved. This might just be the state of the world. That you pulling her is impossible. You are looking around for the flame. But she holds up her other hand, the one that's not gripping your wrist back. And in the palm of it, gathered there, is the flame. The same flame as before. She is grasping you like your stone. She presents the flame in front of you. You're looking for my pet. One of my pets. Often busy, this one. You see there is an intelligence in the way the flame dances, and that in the palm of her hand, it curls up like some small animal. yawning with a wide open triangular mouth. It is observing you, just as she is. Her eyes and the eyes of the flame have slit pupils that faintly firmly glow like embers. It is constant. You can see it, even in the daylight of this place. The broad daylight of the clearing, was it not night before? Well, this place doesn't follow that rule. You're surprised you can see the daylight and see her eyes glow in the daylight. You know what you're in for. But overall, it's safe here. You're signing up for a wasted weekend and a little fun. You can withdraw anytime you like. But she keeps her grip on your wrist and says, now we had best get going. You count the 9 long tails extending behind her. Note her muzzle, her fangs, the little dark claws on the paw that holds you, the digitigrade actual paws she's walking upon. There is a glistening, juicy wetness on her inner thigh. No doubt excitement. You represent both a meal and a fuck, and maybe a repeat instance of both, if she lets you go when she's drank your energies. You want to bury yourself face first in her ass, grab and pet her tails, squeeze the cleavage that bounces so broadly and splendidly that the sides of it can even be seen from behind her. She can see your thoughts, because she draws it out, holding up the image of her own tits as if it were conjured from your brain in a halo of flaming blue light. She brings it up in front of herself to inspect it, brings up one of her nails, carrying that blue flame, letting her pet see what you were thinking of, and you watch. You're brave. You're forward. That ought to be rewarded. Of course, doing anything other than watch her is impossible, but you watch her even more closely. A part of your brain that's picked up that you really want to see her tits close up. Maybe give them a good suck. At the angle you're being held at, you're not going to miss them. You're no longer tugging against the grip. You're being held up, the feeling of her skin against you warm, and those very breasts rubbing against most of your form. Bouncing as she moves, the hand not holding you up. She moves it to lift her tits and let them drop and bounce. It's enough to make you so turned on. Dripping heat between your legs begins to yawn. There's an itch only she can scratch. And she's swaying like she plans to do just that. Her tongue extends. Her bouncing breasts are all you see, barely fending off the soporific obedience, the compliance of being in the presence of her majesty that has snuck its way around the edge of your thoughts. Wouldn't it be nice if you complied? Wouldn't it be nice if you complied? Wouldn't it be so good if you laid out your thoughts the way I'm laying them out, leaving a purity of focus on her bouncing tits? They're all you see. Your mind submits. They're all you think of. Though your mind says something again about those 9 tails, throwing up a card, the index card of memory, which never fails to fail to present its full story. But you know, she is prominently, presently focused on you, even if she's walking on ahead. You can look at her breasts. Her arm is beneath them, lifting and dropping them. The flame is in the foreground, floating along her, leading you. You like them, don't you? You sway a little. She sways a little. Her hand on you feels so warm, and your skin is exciting to the touch. Her encouraging little tease comes with her finger, which the lighted flame is affixed to, swaying back and forth as well. You notice that where she's grasped your arm, there is something warm and soft and dark and spreading, natural, and it feels fur. Moving over your arm, over your wrist, fur expanding like fur cuffs, warm from underneath, covered with a fuzzy, soporific numbness as it passes. It's kind of similar to the way her skin is covered in downy, soft fur, in so many places. You might even have more than her. But where she is, red and white in different locations, you can see the fox fur forming, but yours getting darker, getting dimmer, not as vibrant as she. Your ears perk up, remind you of the movement of hers. Yeah, you'll do. I just need to make a few changes. Keep staring. She sways her finger in a circle. You become less and less aware of the particulars of your body, and more aware of that shiny, bright follow. As it moves in the air, it leaves a spiral behind it, hanging. Your eyes follow it, tracing the endless inward-moving spiraling of her finger, your thoughts burning away in the blue flame. It lingers in the air. You thought you were maybe saving her from it, or it was her ward. Now you know it's a pet. Pets making pets. You wonder if it was a person like you. Once her boobs grow in your vision, filling your vision, your body soft, heat down your back just above your butt, fur and muscle enough to stretch, tent, create musculature, and with a burst that eye rolls you, your tail swings soft and true, in form, body warm, heavy, and gone. You let her lead, because as you just thought, you are gone, and her swaying tails submit a siren song for your consideration. One of her hands still reaches back and takes your wrist. She slides it down to take your hand instead, twining your fingers with hers so you stay level, the dark fur black over you. You are level with her on the path. Ahead, you see a house at the end of this long path. The front lawn lit, the shape an intimidating bulk, much like she was in the dark when you first saw her. Your ears flick on the top of your head. You feel fox ears, tail rising, swaying, realizing where you are, body warm and delighting. And as she tells you to watch the flame more closely, it is again in front of your face, and your awareness has fled. The blue flame that doesn't even emit warmth, but that sucks in attention, that makes your high tail a little more high, as you peacefully, happily warm to it, warmth and permanently shift bend sculpt to it, her effort, the flame sculpted by even a small movement of her hand, and you imagine that now, in this space, you might be much the same, still aware of her tails. Her robe is lifted up over her thighs on purpose so one of her hands can rub there. She has relinquished your hand so that she can do so, touching her sex, pushing her fingers inside carefully. One of the kitsune that live here watch over and tempt travelers to visit their manor. Her fangs bared and furred body in front of you, yours changing. Even though she's released you, you keep changing from the point of contact. Being tempted feels so good. Thought after thought popping and sparking away. You are tender for the flame. Her breasts occupy more of your mind as her influence unwinds into it. Her transformation of you. Her changing you into fur, dark covering of your body. It occupies more of your skin. You let it in. Let her know you invite her to do what she might do. Your mind opens its gates. She enters into you, face to face with you, tits against your face. Your mouth opens and you drink. You drink deeply for change, warm like honey and milk, spiraling patterns of flame in your mind, the occasional bounce of heavy breasts against your face, helping you find deepness. The only thought in mind, her hand entwined with yours, that intimate gesture, and when she released, more remained. Something of her is in you, she leans in, whispering, your eyes locked, staring, straight ahead, forward, looking at nothing, looking at her chest as she puts it in your eyeline, stare at your breasts, you stare at her breasts, you're gonna come back with me, you've gotta finish that up and then you'll be just like me. Her fingers go between your legs, you feel a sense of being opened, of being spread, and of soaking her fingers, you worry her hand will just stick there, the flame in your mind, the blue flame copy in your mind, nods yes. What passes for a melted, liquefied mind, nods yes. It is only natural that you should follow that flame, follow after her. She and you are the same thing. You are subordinate, she above, and you feel it radiating from her every second that you're near, both together, traveling here. She tugs lightly at your hand, and it feels like a leash around you. She is walking backward, looking at you in the eye as though to comfort you. Trees and underbrush and everything else moves aside to let her pass. She turns minimally, keeping her breasts in sight or against your face so you can drink. You do nothing but follow. Follow into the warm light, its mote of hypnotizing flame in view. She's backing up with you facing her. Everything gets out of the way. The path is behind her. You follow and say yes. A path different than the one you came in on, yes. Something that goes deeper. Is this that other disused path toward the shrine? No. That was broken down. This has shrines and burning incense. Space itself seems to pucker, letting you through. You know that where you are going is more distant, maybe more distant than you could ever walk to, but it feels warm and right. Your furred, spreading influence, the paws with retractable claws, the feet that raise up and the way she has left your mind fogged. All of it manifests on you, clicking claws and digitigrade, paws that paw at you, the muzzled movement, the ears raised high, the tail shifting side to side, raising the graceful drop of the fox's influence already in you, non-stop working away, ears flicking all day. You follow. These things manifest on you, aware of you, your environment. It feels like home, and you are home. You know. Every second you're under her influence, next to her, you feel more at home. Following behind. The slide of her tails intertwined, rubbing against one another, rubbing against you. The bounce of her tits so soft and bouncy, everything seems perfect, right? And then you're inside. Don't remember how you walked into the big house. This is a place to be in the euphoric warmth of her proximity, burning away everything in the flame. Her breasts and body, her influence and words, as she sometimes trails that blue moat in front of your eyes, leaving after images, leaving you mesmerized, intoxicatingly building up. You follow, she's still holding your hand, you follow. "You'll make a wonderful pet," she says, still walking backwards, still soothing you, happy, warm familiarity entering into you. You're in the lobby, in the foyer, following her. There are many paper sliding doors visible, and a mansion that goes beyond a courtyard, the garden and a tree in there, and you feel through some connection to the tales she has, that this is where she's from, and yet she's from nowhere. Happy, warm familiarity as you follow and she leads you. That's how it should be, with her hand holding on to you. She's enthusiastic about leading you deeper. She has enthusiasm about helping you sleepity deep and drop ever down. Let your mind go. Let your mind go down. The longer this goes on, the more firmly you're in her grasp. There are many reasons to surrender to her at last. Finally, many warm moats of her transformative influence exist inside of you. You hold inside the beginning of this change, which began in her grab, in her touch. Happy, warm familiarity, her grab, her touch. The flame in the fireplace in her private room is blue, and you see the tails held up and aligned for you, letting you see them, the way they almost fold up, seem to vanish, or at times wash through one another, as if only one of them or some of them were solid, and the rest were able to intermove. You feel your fur. Oh, you have fur. Your ears. Oh, you have ears. Your tail. Your soaked body, wanton, flicking and falling. You inquire to yourself, what is this body about? What is this body like? It faces you once more. It holds you tight. Her tits in view are on either side of your face now. Stare at her cleavage. The familiar flame is out of sight and within you at the same time. And all your thoughts are in order. You know where you belong, and it's in this bind. She picks you up, scooping one arm under you. You thought she'd be too small to easily lift you, that the tails made up most of her bulk. Nope. She reaches under, lifts you into her arms. Good pat. Your face still between her breasts, breathing in the scent of incense, heat and oils and something else, wild and feral. The feral other holding you. Her heart beats strong, beating through. She pulls you against her, slips a hand down under, grabs your ass, rubs in the front, lets you hump one way and the other, carries you up the stairs effortlessly in that awkward position. It takes a little bit of navigation, a little bit of getting used to, but then there's nowhere you'd rather be than in the arms of the woman who invited you here as she prepares to take you inside and do the kind of thing one does in there. In the arms of the woman you realize will train, does own, can change, loves to play with you. You, the object of her attention and desire. You, lured from the trail. You, in her home, in her thrall, in plain view, in her big bed. And she's licking her lips, and she's dropping her robe.